KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio. 1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR.
Mariah, did you hear what Adelaide did this morning? I was way ahead of my game. I gave him the album of the day and then the stuff for Friday for country music. He started playing album of the day today. Pretty funny. We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensing about a subject that most people want to avoid because they think, you know, everybody is thinking that they're going to be the one that lives forever, and it just doesn't happen. We live forever afterwards. The irony of death is that once you're dead, death dies.
Yeah, there's such a thing. In some countries, we've gone to the point of physician-assisted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I am not for that. Like in Canada.
Right.
Some provinces.
In several European countries.
Yeah. And essentially, I, as a physician, will, the patient comes to the point of, there's a process they go through. It's
right.
Not just to decide today I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
No.
There's a process they go through. And essentially, the doctor will give them a script or a cocktail, if it's the right word to say, that essentially they'll die.
Right.
All right.
But it's not, as close to dying in your sleep as you can based on your own decision.
There are some big moral issues with that.
Right.
Okay.
There's absolutely
no issue. But there is such an idea as physician-assisted dying, which I think is good. Now, what is that? What's the difference? All right.
Okay.
Number one, there are things I, as a physician, looking after a patient who's dying,
mm-hmm.
that I can do to make it more comfortable and not hasten and not prolong the dying.
Right.
Do you follow?
Right.
And in fact, may even hasten it a bit.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But it's an attitude, Terry. All right? I'm not actually going to give you something so that you can decide to push a button or give you the
not wake
the,
up
the
tomorrow
shot
morning.
And,
yeah,
and
not,
you're dead.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But there's an attitude from the physician's point of view of saying, Holder, there are things I can do
mm-hmm.
that is going to make it so it's going to be easier. You may die even a bit quicker,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be nicer for you. That's the wrong way, but more peaceful and better. All right,
more humane.
And more humane. All right. So there's this idea. It's called VSED, all right, voluntary stopping of eating and drinking. It's
mm-hmm.
very common.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It
mm-hmm.
is very common, Terry. All right? And what this the person who's old and dying, or maybe not even old, but is dying,
is right? dying of a cancer
or
some other long term disease.
They realize they're dying, and they're going through different steps. The patient who goes through this, and they may be 50. All right, they don't have to be old or
right.
even 30.
Right.
But there's these processes of what we call death and dying. These steps, and the patient will go through them,
mm-hmm.
whether you want to or help them or not. All right. But the patient will come to the point where they are ready to let go and die,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's over. They don't want to go on anymore, all right?
Right.
And it's an emotional, spiritual point in this person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, listen, I'm going to stop eating or drinking. I want to hasten my die,
right.
my death. I no longer want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this happens a lot, all right? And we have family members that want to put feeding tubes in these patients to, you name it, all right?
Well, your systems are shutting down.
Yeah. Well,
and very often, they're not hungry anyway.
What happens, family doesn't understand what's going
right,
on.
Right.
Really, that's really the bottom line. But essentially, the patient has come to the point in their life that they want to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to prolong this existence or misery or whatever it is, all right? And the patient wants to hasten death. The average time for the person stops eating and drinking
mm-hmm.
till death is how long? 7 days.
I was going to say 7 days.
8% of patients who do that actually last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the doctors call this terminal dehydration. All right. But here's kind of the neat things about it. mm-hmm. okay, that the families may not know, all right? But when you go into this point of what doctors call terminal dehydration, you're not going to, you want to die, you're going to quit drinking.
Right.
All right? It releases endorphins in the patients so they experience less pain and more peace and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So this person that's wanting to die, the family's going, oh, no, you need to eat, Grandma. You need a drink. You're going to get dehydrated.
Yeah.
You may actually be not doing, making them more uncomfortable. All right?
Right.
That's
right.
The first thing. All right? Number two is this person going through this process of terminal dehydration will have less mental awareness. All right? They're sort of in this little fog, if that's the right word to say.
They come and go.
Yeah. All right? And they there's interesting stories. In fact, you mentioned during the break, mm-hmm. you know, the patient could be out to lunch or really not knowing what's going on, and a relative walks in, all of a sudden, oh, hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you fall? And they haven't.
And the people dealing with it go, what happened?
Exactly.
How did that happen?
Exactly. All right. There's periods when this something triggers in their brain.
Right.
All right. We don't know really what it is. Where all of a sudden they are mentally alert as they've always been.
Right.
All right?
Right.
The 14th Amendment says that you are able as a person to refuse medical care.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You mm-hmm. know, and
you have to sign a form, but yeah.
Sure, sure. But it's one of those last rights that I have as a person before I die.
Right.
The bigger issue is family needs to be aware of these issues and be willing to deal with these issues of life and death in their relative to help that relative. And this
and
is
I
really
think,
a family issue, not a not the patient.
Yeah, and I think what you're doing here is you're reminding people that it is a natural progression. We will all die, and it's the family that sometimes is the biggest impediment.
Terry, you hit the nail right on the head.
No.
Yeah, it's not the patient, typically, all right? It's the family and their response.
Dad used to tell the story of this young woman that came in to see him, and her grandfather had passed away. And so he said, well, how old was your grandfather? Well, he was 95. We just had a great big celebration. Everybody was together. The whole family was together, and he passed away, and the family's been distraught ever since.
Oh, that was the best.
And my dad said, why would you be distraught? He's 95 years of age, I mean, and he goes upstairs and goes to bed and doesn't wake up. What a wonderful way to die. That woman never saw my dad ever again because he didn't understand how upsetting that was to the family. You know, the family should have celebrated. I think my dad had the right attitude. You should celebrate that. What a great way to pass away, to have a big dinner with all your family there and then to die that night in your sleep.
Well, you know, we've talked about the, you know, go back to these blue zones, people, how mm-hmm. these people in the blue zones die. All right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you want to take a break.
Yeah,
I want to talk about something. And this is probably just March 24th, 2024. This is...
Yeah, not that long ago.
Not that long ago. But I believe NIH, if I remember right. Questions that the family needs to be aware of in the process of death and dying.
Excellent.
All right?
Excellent. Okay, we're going to be back. You're listening to Maxwell in the Morning. Get to the last mic drop. We're in the practice hour with Dr. Jan Mensink. We do that every Monday and Wednesday in the 11 o'clock hour. It's a great, valuable information that people really appreciate, that Dr. Mensink spends the time to research and then present in an understandable fashion, because as lay people, medicine can be very confusing, but I think Dr. Mensink does a nice job of making it a little bit more understandable and relatable too. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. This is the practice hour. talking a little bit about death and dying, focusing more on you as a family member and having one of your loved ones going through the process. You wanted to get into a little bit more of a discussion.
Yeah, Terry, let me ask you a question. Who is the most important member of the palliative care team, like the doctors, the nurses, the LVNs, that kind of, who is the most important part of the palliative care team?
Probably you.
No.
The nurses?
The chaplain.
Oh, the chaplain, yeah. Okay.
Or the pastor or the priest or whatever, you know, whoever it be. But the one looking after the spiritual issues of of that patient, all right? All patients who go through this process, if that's the right word,
right,
have questions they want answered, all right? And this is what the chaplain's there to help them do. That's literally, you know, go through this process. And the first thing is, why is this happening to me?
It happens to everybody.
Yeah. All right?
Yeah.
All right. And that question has to be answered. The chaplain has to help the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the patient is not a big issue. It's the family.
True.
That's the issue. True. All right?
True.
So the chaplain's job is not only with that patient in the hospice situation, but with that family. All right? That's the first thing. All right? So why is it happening? All right? Number two is families often respond with shock and anger or lack of acceptance.
They don't want to let go.
You hit the nail right on the head. The issue is not the patient, the family coming to that point of saying, yes, I'm ready to let go. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next thing is that the chaplain has to deal with what comes next. All right.
Sure.
It's on, and usually the person dying has already gone through this. Do you follow what I'm saying?
They're past the acceptance point.
Yeah, they've already dealt with this.
Right.
But it's the families that haven't. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right. What comes next? And the last thing is the patient's family has to know that the patient, person who's dying, doesn't go with a lot of regrets. The chaplain has to look after those emotional and spiritual issues to deal with it. So when they leave, I don't have regrets. And the bottom line, Terry, is it ends up being a spiritual issue where the person who's dying has to, and they will come, by the way, they all come to this point, all right?
Right.
Unless they're killed very suddenly, they don't, all right? But number one, accepting what's happening and saying, listen, I let go. It's God's problem, however you feel God is.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right? This is not my issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow? I'm willing to accept it. And once that acceptance occurs in the patient who's dying, all the regrets go.
Mm-hmm.
That next job of that chaplain is to let the family know that the patient has come to that point.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the minister probably has the toughest position or the toughest job of anybody during that process because
it's not the doctor.
I've seen it when one of my son's good friends passed away because of a drug overdose. I believe it was probably fentanyl overdose. It was the family that had a tough time saying, okay, we need to pull the plug because there was no hope. There was no hope left.
Yeah.
And the minister was the one who had to, first of all, convince them to make that decision, but second of all, had to minister them afterwards because their young son had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough job.
Right. I want to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
So you've got a family member who's dying.
Right.
Okay. And that. What are the most common end-of-life signs? What happens as they're getting ready to pass on? All right?
Okay.
So you're aware of, you know, don't panic about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the natural progression of passing on. All right? And number one is changes in breathing patterns.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And it's usually very, very obvious, all right, that it's changing their breathing pattern. We have mentioned not wanting to eat or drink, mm-hmm. all right?
Right, right.
That's a good sign to family, holder, this patient's come to the point.
Yeah.
We're
getting close to the end.
Exactly. All right? 8 weeks. I mean, eight
days.
7 days.
Yep.
8% go 2 weeks. All right? But right. That's a very good sign. The patient is ready. They want to. They've made their peace with God.
And
they want to go.
Everybody in hospice already knows that.
Yeah, yes. By the way, that is very true, Terry. It's a family that doesn't want to let go. All right?
Right.
It's not the patient as much. The family doesn't want to let go.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Okay. The next thing is often the skin will change colors a little bit.
A little bit more pallor.
Pallor is a good way of saying mm-hmm. it. All right. They'll sleep more. All right. Occasionally, the patient will get restless. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a case of restlessness, the doctor
can give them something.
There's things we do to give them, make them less restless. Okay.
Right.
That's usually the doctor. When we have a patient on a hospice care, the doctor will sign prescriptions the palliative care nurses will have all these prescriptions just in case.
Already there. Yeah.
All right. The other thing is the patient, before they come to this process, this first last week or 2 weeks, all right,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
3 months before, the patient who's dying will often, they'll want to start to withdraw more from their family for a short term,
mm-hmm.
and it's wise to let them do that for a little bit. Now, not long term.
Right.
All right?
Right.
A week or two, no problem. All right? The other thing that the hospice doctor has to be aware of, and we sometimes miss about this, all right, but we don't want to have a person dying depressed. Is that the right? Depression issues should have been treated 3 months early.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So we're not coming to the point of person dying and they feel depressed. That's wrong. All right? And that means if you have a patient doing this, somebody months earlier didn't pick up on things, right?
Right, right. It's not that you're giving them laughing gas, but you're trying to get them to be a little bit more serene with what is happening.
Yep. The other thing is, what are signs that the person's going to die within hours?
Breathing gets more shallow.
Okay. They look very pale.
Yeah,
their eyes are closed most of the time. They'll switch between deep breathing and very quiet breathing. And often the muscles in the jaw will drop open.
Right.
So they're kind of, I don't know.
Well, and they're stuck in a particular position.
Yeah.
They don't move.
Or just before they quit breathing, they may have long pauses in breathing. And then take a gasp.
Right.
And that's a very late stage, just before they pass on, all right? And family needs to be aware of that, and family needs to not be afraid of it, but embrace it.
Unfortunately, two people, the reason I know it is because I've experienced it with my mom, but it's not something that was ever explained to me, and I think that you're giving a great service to people right now, explaining to them some of those final stages so that they can recognize them. Is there anything left? We got about a half a minute.
I want to go over four statements.
Okay.
That are the most important thing for family to say to somebody who's dying.
Okay.
Number one, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, please forgive me. Number three, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, thank you. Four phrases that are the most important for that person's dying before they go. That
Excellent.
The family has to say, I don't know if it's the right word, but should say to that person that's dying. All right, Terry?
Excellent. Thank you so much. We are going to be right back. We'll take this last break.